I'll tell you this. Took me 4 decades on this planet to realize what a woman means when she says, I have nothing to wear tonight. I can never relate to that. I have nothing to wear tonight. You know, my wife, she walk into her closet. Her closet, not ours. Not mine. I get a dresser. She walks in her closet now. Now. No. Now. Now. I got nothing. I've got nothing to wear tonight. Yeah, me either. Because my c*** on the bottom drawer and it won't open because it's from IKEA.
Nailed it.
Nailed it is right.
Nailed it.
Steve Byrne is here. He nailed it. Comedian, actor, Oasis fan, Steve Byrne. maybe the world's largest Oasis fan.
Largest? I'd say.
Not in terms of volume, but in terms of
girth? Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yes, we found out off the air that you love
Oasis. Oasis fan. Sorry.
And do you feel, when there's a band you like, do you feel the need to defend
love?
That or love? Let's say love.
Yes.
Do people call you out on this?
Always.
Why? Why can't somebody just enjoy somebody's music without
exactly.
being
that's
called
what I
out
think.
On?
And I think in that subtle tone, yeah. I think that's the way it should be approached.
Why are you being so nice? You're typically more judgmental than you're being right
why
now.
Why are you coming down on my friend?
Thank you, Steve.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Listen.
Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
You like Oasis, too.
I do like Oasis. It always bothered me that two brothers that could work so well together, I believe, hated each other.
Can't get along. My
Isn't
brother
that crazy?
And I the same thing.
Really?
So the same thing, yeah. Maybe that's why I listen to him. I think this
it reminds
I think
you
really
of you
it,
and
yeah.
your brother.
Yeah. I'm Noel singing to my brother, William.
Yeah,
Liam. I'm
yeah.
singing to him, yeah. Don't look back in anger. I guess that's what it is. Unbelievable. This is the greatest view in radio, honestly.
Steve, enjoy it while you can because we're leaving in a month.
We've been kicked
It was
out.
The greatest view in radio.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah, we're switching buildings to a lovely facility just blocks away.
Of course.
But this view is, you do a lot of radio, I'm guessing. Did you ever see a view in any radio station like this one?
Never. No. I mean, I've been in New York City. I've been in Los Angeles. This is literally the greatest view. And it's so, I mean, it's right here.
Yeah.
And how many times in movies do you see this shot? It's beautiful.
Yes.
All the architecture. And then you get to see all the people watching. Look at this.
Yep.
It's nice.
You know
I
what?
This man's got
watch.
Athletic thighs, square jawbone, makes yep. me want to sue my parents. It's great. How are you guys?
Don't sue your parents.
Yeah.
You know that would come back to haunt you at
it
some
would.
Point. You don't want to do that. Tell everybody, you already know this, but the blend between your mom and dad, the cultures, is so fascinating to me.
Korean and Irish.
Yeah.
Caucasian and Asian.
Korean on your mom's side, Irish on your dad's.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is weird being Korean and Irish because you are a mix of Caucasian and Asian. And ultimately what it comes down to, Caucasian, I think is what
oh, yeah.
it is. Black hair, red pubes, not a good combination. But it really is kind of like people think, I think, on the outside from the optics of it, just such different cultures. But they're really very similar.
Are they? Yeah.
Both oppressed territories that have been constantly taken over by neighboring countries.
Yeah.
Both have chips on the shoulder. Both very outgoing. Koreans are known to be the partiers
yeah.
of Asia. So both enjoy whiskey. Both love cabbage. Both love potatoes. And both have an immense aversion to the sun.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
So it's kind of good. They're both very similar.
As your parents were dating, was there anybody opposed to this union on either side?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
For sure on my father's side, my grandmother did not want, you know, because I think, you know, interracial nowadays is so accepted. I think even when you say interracial, everybody in this country thinks black, white. But, you know, yeah. back during the Vietnam War, I think anybody that's Asian is like, oh, that's the bad person, right?
Right,
so,
right.
So yeah, they came back in into the South and was not accepted, then went to Minnesota, not accepted, and then to New York City and slightly accepted, but on my father's side, not accepted. But once the baby comes,
yeah,
yeah. That's when all the hearts melt and
yeah.
Yeah, everybody's cool with it. So, yeah.
It's way different now, though, don't
way
you
different.
Think?
Yeah, yeah. And by the way,
thank God.
I've progressed as much. I'm from, you know, the Rust Belt, Pittsburgh. And
yeah.
I think thanks to my years in progressive cities like Chicago and L.A., I've gotten the point in my life where I don't care if a transgender gentleman wants to marry a woman that's transitioning and she's from a bisexual background and they want to marry in a Catholic church. I'm totally fine with that as long as they're the same race. So.
You have progressed. You've progressed nicely. But every day I see people, because of where you just explained the view that we have, you see people of various cultures holding hands or with their arms around each other. And I remember as a kid, if you walked downtown and you saw that, everybody would be turning around going, hey, what's with this?
Totally, yeah. But now it's a Gap commercial. Yeah. So it's totally fine. It's totally accepted. And it kind of, you know, I think it's what it should be. Because, I mean, it is representative of this country, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this country is e pluribus unum, out of many one. We all came here. We're a melting pot. And I think that's kind of why, you know, stand-up is going through a really weird period right now because it is divisive.
Yeah.
And you see, like, what happened. And I'm a comic, and I will always stand by comics, right? We don't have a union. But, like, when Michelle Wolf goes to the White House Correspondents' Dinner and does the monologue she does, it's like, I, as a comic, hear the jokes, and I think it's funny.
Yeah.
And then it gets twisted around certain ways from political angles, and like the White House Correspondents Association had to apologize for Michelle Wolf because apparently her rhetoric was so vulgar and insulting. But I think it's fascinating that she now is leading Joe Biden by 10 points in New Hampshire. So,
you know what, though? I never heard of her, really. I don't watch The Daily Show. I was unaware of her until this came about. Watched the monologue. I wasn't offended. I just wanted it to be funnier. Like, if it's funnier, then all of a sudden it's like you can get by with something even meaner.
True. There's ways of doing it, but that's her. That's her cup
and they
of coffee,
booked her.
You know?
They knew what they were getting.
They booked her. That's what you get. Yeah.
So they apologized because she did what they hired her to do.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I think is crazy. But look, I'm a comic. I stand by comics. I think she did what she does. And I think that there are certain ways to go about things. You know, I'm writing a new hour, basically. I'm filming it in the fall in New York City. And a lot of them are throwback Carson-esque monologue type jokes. And I think in this climate, you want to be inclusive and inviting.
Yeah.
And for example, one of them is like, and I think it goes again to attesting to like what you're saying of like walking the line, being welcoming to both sides. So for example, one of them is like quite the transition these days to go from President Obama to President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what side of the fence you find yourself on politically, I think we can all agree it marks the first time in our nation's history that a white billionaire has moved into federal housing that was vacated by an African-American. And I think that's something where, like, from Texas to San Fran to New York City, that's something where everybody along the spectrum appreciates it. And you know who enjoys that joke the most? The African-Americans in the audience always find the humor in it because I think everything's so sensitive. It's like, don't make fun of them. It's like they want to be made fun of because it normalizes people.
What do you make of guys? And I'll use a name or two. Jerry Seinfeld was the first person who did this, but others have followed, who said, I don't want to work at colleges anymore because they are the most judgmental and the most politically correct. You used to give some leeway to the comics.
They're too smart now.
It's not so much being so smart. There's some element of that, but it's them saying, oh, that's wrong. What you're just saying, that's wrong.
I completely look, I'm not a Seinfeld fan, but this is the one thing I will say I agree with him on.
Yeah.
I think that the kids these days, these kids groan in comedy clubs. I started 20 years ago in New York City. Nobody ever groan within a comedy club, but young people that come out to clubs groan constantly. Black people, Muslim people, it's like if you groan in a comedy club, run out to your priest and take a selfie of you crying and send it to me. It'll make my day. I'm 43. I groan when I watch an Arby's commercial, not at jokes.
Yeah.
And I would impress this upon young people. Don't ever groan in a comedy club because it is literally the last vessel of free speech that exists in this country, in this world. And if you groan now, you're going to ruin it. Because groaning turns to outrage. Outrage turns to banning. Freedom of speech. It's a house of cards. And they're going to ruin it if they don't catch up with
so
it.
So true.
Why are young people groaning? That's an older person thing.
Exactly. Even the college campuses and, you know, all the rhetoric.
I didn't realize
that. Yeah, it's nuts. It's awful.
I love Don Rickles' Something Fierce, but I always say to myself, if Don Rickles was coming up today, not a chance, right? Nobody would hire him.
I don't know. I think that there are some people that cross the line so far, they obviously know they're being lampooned. Like Lampanelli does a great job at
that.
You know,
Jeffrey Ross
is, I mean, he's the Roastmaster General, right? I have jokes about, you know, did you guys know that there is a Hunger Games theme park that just opened in South Korea?
Mm-mm.
It's called North Korea. So I do that joke, right? People get offended, and it's like, I'm the only Korean in here. Right. How are you? It's people getting offended for somebody else, too. It's just like, that drives me mental. Mental.
I agree with you on that. If someone is offended, they have every right, maybe not in the middle of a show, but to email you or tweet at you or something.
Got to get to the comment section. My voice needs to be heard. It's like, find the humor in things. You know, there was a few years ago where a San Francisco news reporter cited the names of four Asian pilots on Asiana Flight 214.
Oh, I know this one.
They were Captain Wee Too Lo,
mm-hmm.
Captain Bing Dang Ao,
mm-hmm.
my personal favorite, Captain Sum Ting Wong,
mm-hmm.
and Captain Ho Lee Fuk, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
I did that so you didn't have to dump.
My finger was ready.
I saw you on that thing.
I'm ready.
But it's like, even as an Asian American, you're sitting there going, oh my God, this is so insulting. This is so racist. But as a comic, I'm like, that's so funny. It is genuinely hilarious.
Yeah.
That, like, could you imagine being on an actual airplane and the captain come on over the last bit? Welcome to Asiana Flight 214 Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let's introduce ourselves. I'm Captain Wee Too Lo. This is Captain Bing Dang Ao. Captain Something Wong. Captain Holy Fook. I got to get the Fook off this plane. I'm passenger Me Long Gone. What a horrible situation.
That's Steve Byrne. Steve is performing at the Improv tonight and tomorrow night. We'll give you more information. Chicago.improv.com is all you need to know, really. Stick around more after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Steve Byrne. You can see him at the Chicago Improv located in Schaumburg. There are shows tonight and tomorrow night. Very, very funny man. Chicago.improv.com has all your ticket information. Are you surprised at what's happening with the two Koreas, with North and South Korea? Did you ever think you'd see what's going on?
Never thought I'd see him back down like that, just kind of fold like a house of cards. It's crazy.
Do you trust him? I don't trust him. They did a handshake, said we're going to not do any more building of nuclear weapons. I don't take him for his word.
I think that there's either A, he's financially crippled and he has no other choice, or B, I think that maybe he's been cut off from the rest of the world, right, for so long. And I think that now he's seeing that the world is welcoming him, even though he's like... He's like launched missiles at his uncle and family members. It's like, as bad as you think Trump is, right? His daughter sits on his lap. It's like, this guy's sending like Tomahawk missiles at family members. So it's like, there is a barometer of like crazy. So once again, it's an agent setting the bar for everybody else. But I think, I don't know. I think he maybe is someone that is getting caught up in the tailwind of like, wow, you know, people might appreciate me, and there's the adulation. And look, he's obviously a narcissistic person, so I think that goes along into
it.
But he's provided a lot of fodder for me. I know you guys know the Oscars concluded about a month ago.
Yeah.
And already for next year's Oscars, Kim Jong-un is the odds-on favorite for Best Animated Short.
Really?
Yes.
Hope he wins.
I don't know if you guys know this. Kim Jong-un recently achieved the highest rank in the North Korean Army. 5'6".
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Explain this. When the two Korean leaders of North and South got together, they did the same thing that Trump and Macron did when they got together. They held hands a lot and they planted bushes and trees.
That's what most dudes do.
Is that what happens when guys get together?
I remember when we had our little Portillo's incident where you ate my Italian beef hot peppers. And I was like, that's my beef. You said, let me make it up to you. We didn't talk for 2 months. You brought me over.
I did do this.
You got handsy. You gave me a back rub. Yeah. And then we went in the back and we planted two poinsettias.
Yeah, we did do that.
Yeah, around the holiday season.
That's what guys do,
I thought you didn't like gardening.
I don't just usually, but it was a show of trust.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted to, So that's what guys
that
do.
Is weird.
That's what men do.
Yeah.
I watched within a 2-day span both sets of leaders do these things, and I went, who's orchestrating this for them? That's so odd to do those things.
Well, I thought it was so funny how Kim Jong-un, he walked over to the South Korean side, and he walked, I think, 100 yards.
Yeah.
He looked gassed. And then he had to put his foot over that one step. He's like, oh. And then he had that motorcade leaving, remember?
Yeah.
And all these Korean dudes are running alongside his security, and he's the last person that like probably ever ran. When's the last time that dude ran? He looked gassed walking to see him. It's like, you can't defeat this dude? It's crazy.
I know. Really quickly, you still have relatives in Pittsburgh, or is that all done?
All my family is down in Florida. They're retired.
Yeah.
And I think it's so ironic because Florida, I'm sure you guys know, was founded by Ponce de Leon. He was looking for the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah.
I don't know if you spent much time. I can assure you it is not in Florida. Right. Not in Florida. But my dad's fishing every day. My mom's cooking. And yeah, they're just happily retired.
Oh, that's good. They're that couple, and they're, yeah. I'm sure they're very proud of what you're achieving.
We'll see about that.
Not yeah. so much.
She's still not happy. She's Korean. She's never going to be happy. Yeah.
Yeah. And how's your brother? The one
brother's
you used to
great.
Fight with?
Yeah, we don't talk. I don't know. I understand like sibling. Yeah, I understand that tension. I understand why people like Noel and Liam, they don't talk from Oasis. Why can't they? It's just like once you have that kind of fractured relationship.
It doesn't get back together, really.
Yeah. And it's like my brother is a war vet. You know, he served overseas. He's the one that spurred me to do all these USO tours. Yeah. And I'm getting ready to do another one in the fall. And people are like, yeah, we got to honor all our men and women that served overseas. It's like, yeah, but maybe not this one because I know him and he's not that great.
All but him.
All the other ones, but him.
Not him.
But
that's
not him.
Understandable.
Yeah.
It's so understandable.
Yeah.
Well, great doing the USO stuff. That's very appreciated.
Those are the best. Literally, when people say professionally, what is something you're proud, it's like hands down, those tours are the greatest
right.
because you forget the sacrifices that. Yeah, you can go to a war zone and all this other stuff, but it's the little things we take for granted.
Mm.
These are men and women that are without holidays, that are away from their families on birthdays.
And they're in danger. Constantly.
And in danger.
Yeah.
And sometimes not in danger. Some, you know, they're doing admin in a hospital in Guam. It's like, that's not in the commercial. Mm. The commercials look fun with laser pointers
exactly.
and coming off a ship and fins, and you're doing cool stuff. It's like, you know, you got to hear a photocopy machine all day in fatigues.
Right.
It's like, that's not fun. And that's something that they're doing for our country,
yeah.
too.
You're
great
making
job
difference.
With that.
Great to see you, Steve. Come by anytime.
Always a pleasure. This
you guys
might be
have
the last
to plan
time
because
I got to see the view next time before if
right.
I want to come to the new
all
studio
right.
or not.
We'll
send you a little selfie and you can look at the view behind
you
us.
You decide
then.
Based on
right?
the view.
But
all
I'm
right.
excited to listen to Fernando, too, by the way.
Oh,
Fernando Jones
nice
coming
in the green
up.
Room. But thank you guys both for having me. I really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure
of
seeing
course.
You guys.
You're so. Awesome.
It's Steve Byrne. His website, steveburnlive.com. And if you want more ticket information to see him at the Improv tonight and tomorrow night, just go to chicago.improv.com. It's all right there. Thank you so much.
You got it. I'm in a mall underneath Elaine Bryant, so wish me luck.
More after this. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN.